So why don't we dive on in? Let's pray first, though. Father, I pray that this morning, as we look at your word, that the truth of what you want us to know and want us to experience would be clear, and that we would leave here more like Christ and have a greater appreciation for this beautiful thing you've called the church. Lord, help my tongue to stay away from my own biases and thoughts. Lord, we just want to hear from you this morning. So please do that in Jesus' name. Amen. So when I was in elementary school, I started off with a lot of friends. Grade 1, grade 2, lots and lots of friends. And maybe you did too. I don't know. I don't know what your experience is. But a lot of my friends got involved in this thing called hockey. Now, I wasn't allowed to be in hockey. My family said, we don't have that kind of money to put all of our kids through hockey, so tough luck for you. So I wasn't part of hockey, but the rest of my friends were. And slowly over time, I could tell their interests were divided from mine. We'd stop hanging around as much. We'd stop picking each other for partners as much as they continued down this hockey road. And by the time junior high hit, I had basically no friends left. They were all in their own little group of hockey guys, and I was the nerdy piano player. And maybe some of you can relate to that story. Maybe some of you spent some lonely years in school. Did anyone spend some lonely years in school? Yeah. So you can relate to my story very well. I didn't feel like I fit in with my friends anymore. And maybe you haven't just felt that in school. Maybe you have felt that at work, that you didn't fit in at work, or you didn't even fit in with your family. Any black sheep of the family here? Aw, I love you guys. You're my peeps. And the thing is, this feeling of not fitting in can sometimes even creep into, guess what? The church. You can feel like you don't fit in. And here's the funny thing. I've served in a number of churches, and it's funny how sometimes they're very different and sometimes they're very the same. One of the things that has occurred in every church that I've been a pastor is people get really honest when you get one-on-one with them. And they'll come to me and they'll say, Pastor, I find it really hard to attend here. And of course, that gets my curiosity going. I'm like, well, what are we doing that's so bad? And they'll lean in and they'll say, I don't feel like I fit in. Well, that's kind of rough. But inside, I'm kind of laughing. I try not to laugh on the outside. Because the reason I'm laughing is because I've heard it so many times. I don't fit in. So what I do is something that usually blows their minds. I get them, come close. I want to tell you a little secret. Come on. I have something to tell you. I get them to lean in real close, and then I say, I don't fit in either. And then they're real, like, boom, what just happened here? The pastor doesn't feel like he fits in. Well, no, because fitting in means that you're just like everyone else. And if you feel like you do not fit in at Nanaimo Alliance Church, I got good news for you. You just discovered one of the ingredients to the secret sauce of the church. You did. It's this wonderful thing. You know, you can feel like you don't fit in because you're not the right gender or age group, or you have different tastes in music, or you have different political leanings, or your personality is a little quirky. Some of you definitely fit into that category. Or you're different ethnicity, or you speak a different language as your primary language, and you can feel like, I don't fit in. Well, at the end of this message, I want you to be able to say one thing with confidence and certainty and filled with the Holy Spirit. I want you to be able to say, I belong. I belong. And it doesn't matter if you've been here one Sunday or 1,000 Sundays. You are not alone if you feel right now in your chair, I don't fit in here. I don't fit in. This is not new to the 21st century either. This happened, this feeling of not fitting in, started happening right from the get-go, right in the first century. And Paul is addressing this in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We looked at the first part. We're going to look at the last part of this chapter today. And he starts off like this. He says, the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, and some are free. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Now, don't get lost in the jargon here, everyone. He's using the human body as a picture of the church. And the spiritual gifts, these abilities that people had because the Holy Spirit was beginning to take up residence in people, were causing a divide. If you remember from a couple weeks ago, there were people who were feeling like superstars in the church, and they had gifts of miracles and tongues, and everyone could see their gift. It was really obvious. But then there was others who didn't have these amazing gifts that were on display for all to see. They were more behind-the-scenes people, and they felt inferior. And likely they didn't feel like they fit in. And so we addressed 2 weeks ago those who felt less than and those who felt superior. But he's going to continue on. His point here in this particular part of this passage is that there's an equality. We all share in the same Spirit. It's the same Holy Spirit that comes and occupies everyone, no matter what gift they have. Amen? Right. So let's continue on. He's going to now address those who feel inferior. He says, yes, the body has many different parts. Different parts. If you have your Bible with you and you're reading along, you might want to just circle that word, different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, okay, if the foot says, I am not a part of the body because I am not a hand, that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, I am not part of the body because I am not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? So they're comparing different body parts. And for some reason, it kind of makes sense, I guess, in some ways, it's much easier to live without a foot than it is to live without a hand. And it's probably easier to live without an ear than it is to live with an eye. And so there's this sense of some parts are really important, some parts are kind of less important. And he said, just because you think you're a less important part doesn't make you not a part of the church. Not an important part of the church. He continues. If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? Now we're comparing ears and noses, okay? I guess it's easier to be without a nose than an ear. Whatever. Important part is that every gift is important. Every person in the church is important. And their strength in not all being the same. In other words, their strength at Nanaimo Alliance Church in not fitting in, not being like everyone else. Now, the picture he gives, whenever he gives this picture, I can only think of one thing. I think of Mike Wazowski. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about before I even show it. If you don't know who Mike, how many of you know who Mike Wazowski? Oh my, wow. Okay, you need to get a life, all of you. This is Mike Wazowski. And he's mostly just an eye. And Paul is saying, what if the whole church looked like this? And we're all just kind of all the same. We're just one eye. But he goes even beyond this. He says, yeah, it's Mike Wazowski, but, I mean, you got to start taking off parts so that by the end, he's just an eye. You say, what if the whole church looked like that? Can't speak, can't walk, can't move your hands, just an eye. That'd be terrible, don't you think? Now, personally, I think Paul should sue Pixar. Because he clearly had this in mind 2,000 years before Pixar came up with it. But anyway, that's beside the point. Let's continue on in the passage. What else does it say? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. Think about that for a minute. You are here for a reason. You are gifted the way you are for a reason. How strange a body would be if it had only one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. Now, did you miss it? In this whole passage, did you miss that ingredient in the secret sauce of the church? Did you miss it? It's this. If there's a reason that you may feel like you don't fit in at the Nanaimo Alliance Church, it's because you weren't designed to. You weren't designed to be like everybody in this church. If you feel like you don't fit in, wonderful. But you belong here. See, there's a difference. Fitting in is about being just like everyone else. Some people think that once you become a follower of Jesus, God just puts you on this assembly line and he strips you of all your individuality and he just kind of pumps you out and you're supposed to look exactly like everyone else. That's not how God designed the church. Isn't that marvelous? This church doesn't, thank you, this church, God bless you, brother, this church doesn't need Tracy 2.0. It doesn't. This church needs you, your gifts, your personality, what God has given to you. Now he's going to address those who feel superior. Watch this. The eye, the superior part, can never say to the hand, the inferior part, I don't need you. The head, the superior part, can't say to the feet, the inferior part, I don't need you. And yet this is not the way a lot of churches function, right? A lot of churches kind of have this weird thing about people in leadership, especially pastors, elders, small group leaders. A lot of people feel like, well, those are the important people. The church would fall apart without those people. And I'm just an inferior part. And some people are okay with the church just being an eye. Terrible. Terrible. Now, here's even the interesting thing about eyes. Okay, let you in on a little secret. My favorite class in high school was biology. Loved biology. I know I'm a weirdo. Get over it. I loved biology. One of the things we studied in biology was the human body. I was fascinated by the intricacy, the way systems would work together and how detailed the human body is. I don't know about you. I got right into that. But even the eye, did you know an eye by itself, the eye being a pastor in this case, let's say, is completely useless? Did you know that? The eye by itself is completely useless. You think about all the support network that has to go to help the eye do its job. I was amazed to discover, did you know that these pieces of hair on our forehead, that's to help protect your eye? Things coming down, and some of us have a little more protection than others. Just a little grooming tip there. You know, eyelashes, those are there for a reason. And did you know that, of course, you know you have little tear ducts, right? And they're just like window washer fluid that goes on your eye to keep it clean. And there are little muscles right in the side of your eye that move the eye so that you can look it in different directions. And then the image comes through your eye. It gets turned upside down on the back of your eye. And then your optic nerve takes this message, and I'm really simplifying, it's way more complicated than this, but the optic nerve takes this image, turns it into an electrical signal, goes down the optic nerve into the brain. The brain takes that electrical signal, interprets it, lets you know what it is you're seeing. That's a sermon for another time, brother. And so you'll see, by itself, the eye is useless. The eye can do nothing. In the same way that I, as your pastor, if I don't have people around me using their gifts, I'm useless. I can't do what I do. This church functions as a body, as a unit. Now, Paul's going to take this argument one step farther, and he's about to blow the minds of the people who are reading this. Oh, there's my eye. We'll keep going. In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. That is completely the opposite of the way a lot of churches function. You know that? That one sentence. The parts that seem weakest. Think about in the church, who seems weakest? Or least important. Paul is saying here, those are the parts of the church that we need the most. And the parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with the greatest care. I'm going to fill you in on this in a second. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while the more honorable parts do not require this special care. Now, in our physical bodies, there are parts of our body that you don't see. We can all, you know, we all know about the eye. We see it. We know how important it is. We get that. But there are parts you don't see that are on the inside that if they weren't functioning, as you know, you get in a lot of trouble. And that's what he's saying. He says there are parts, your heart, your lungs, your liver, your kidneys, your brain, your pancreas, all these things have to function. You may not see them, they're working behind the scenes, but if they weren't doing their job, the whole body would collapse. And the problem is, some people see their gifts and they think, well, I'm not an upfront person. I'm not that important. I'm not that needed. And Paul is saying, you are one of the most necessary parts. Those people in our church who are praying, we need you. If you don't do your job, nothing happens on a Sunday morning. Nothing happens in our small groups. Nothing happens in kids' church unless you are doing your job. Those who go and they visit those who are shut in or sick or bring over dinner, no one sees that. But if you weren't doing that, people wouldn't feel cared for. They wouldn't feel loved. You see how important those roles are. It's not just the upfront people, the obvious people. See, no matter what your role is, I want you to be able to say, I belong here. Now, what's he talking about with all this, you know, less honorable, we clothe with the greatest in care? I think he's saying, in essence, those parts that aren't up front, those are the ones we need to encourage the most. They need the most support. Guys like me, we just naturally get a lot of attention and a lot of pats on the back, and that's good and all that sort of thing. But he said there should be a disproportionate amount of encouragement to those who are behind the scenes. Now, personally, I don't like that at all. That was a joke, people. Come on, it's okay. I'm not real comfortable with the idea that you're supposed to encourage the people behind the scenes more than me, but I'm just telling you what the Bible says. That's all I got. You know, whatever. So, here we go. Let's continue on. So, God has put the body together such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes for harmony. So, why do that? Why spend a disproportionate amount of time and energy encouraging the people who are behind the scenes? This makes for harmony among the members. Now watch this. so that all the members care for each other. That is not how churches function. I want churches to function like this. I want Nanaimo Alliance Church to function like this. I want every single person who claims to be a part of Nanaimo Alliance Church to believe fully their job is to care for other people. In a lot of churches, this is how it works. Leader's job is to care for me. And leaders get burned out. And they may not even be gifted at caring for people. How many members does it say are to care for each other? All. Hands up if that includes you. Yeah. Did you know that your job, look around, is to care for the people in this room and the people who aren't in this room? So that all the members care for each other. The reason that we don't fit in, but we belong, is so we can care for each other. And this comes from God, our master designer. All members care for each other. And then Paul ends this chapter with this beautiful vision statement. If you want to know where a great vision statement is, it's found right here in the next verse. I love this. If all the parts are caring for each other and there's an understanding of belonging that happens in a church, this is what's going to happen. Are you ready for this? It's beautiful. This is the way a church can be. Praise God. This is the way He designed the Nanaimo Alliance Church to be. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. Isn't that a great picture of the church? If one part has a loss, they lose their job, they lose a friend, that affects all of us. Because we're so intertwined, we're so interdependent on one another. And when Jeff and Anna have their baby, we are going to all rejoice with them because they are part of the body. You see how that works? It's beautiful. We live in an age where, well, I'm religious, or I'm spiritual but not religious, which means I have my own beliefs but I'm not part of a church. I think you are completely missing out on this interdependency. This beautiful picture of being part of a group. Now, this sense of belonging. You may not fit in, but I want you to be able to say, I belong. You weren't designed to fit in, but you were designed to belong. Say it together with me, church. I belong. Say it again. I belong. So how can we respond to this? What can we do? Number one, embrace following Christ as your primary identity. Paul starts this particular section with saying, all of us have been baptized by the same Spirit. All of us have been rebirthed on the inside. Those of us who are followers of Jesus have been rebirthed by the Holy Spirit. All of us have an equality here. But it is our relationship with Christ that is our primary identity. When someone asks you, who are you? You could say your name. But that's just your name, not who you are. You might be able to say, oh, well, I'm a plumber, or I'm an electrician, or I'm whatever, a nurse. That's what you do. It's not your identity. The one identity that is the most valuable to any human being is when someone says, who are you? Your response is, I'm a child of the living God. That is your identity. That is who you are. That connects you. I mean, you can try to find your identity in all kinds of things. People try to find their identity in being a parent or their job or some other group. But the reason that our relationship with Christ is our primary identity because it has the most meaning It is only our identity in Christ that has the power to change you, that gives purpose to your life, that gives you value as a human being, and you get to be part of this tremendous story for all eternity of God's rescue plan of humanity. And if you are not a follower of Jesus this morning, I pray that you would be. I pray there's going to be people up here after the service. They're going to be ready to pray with you. You can start a relationship with Jesus Christ today. And that following Jesus can be your primary identity. Second thing, prioritize the church for your primary belonging. Now let me ask you this question. What does the bar at Cheers, a pride parade, the Royal Canadian Legion, and the Hell's Angels all have in common? Belonging. Exactly. These are places where you can come to belong, where everybody knows your name. Well, I wasn't sure if you get that reference or not. I love you guys. Fantastic. So this is where you get your belonging, but why would you want to prioritize the church, us, for your primary belonging? Simply a matter of mathematics, really. This is the one group you can belong to for all eternity. Developing a sense of belonging in your church is the belonging that you will feel long after your lungs stop breathing and your heart stops beating. All other senses of belonging will drop off. They'll be done at that point, if they're not done earlier than that. But belonging to a church lasts forever. That's why being part of a church and investing in the relationships in the church must be our highest priority. And finally, number three, you can respond to your role as God-given. What part God has given you, what role God has given you, is not the issue. I think this passage has made it pretty clear. It really doesn't matter what gifts God has given you. It's bigger than that. It's the fact that God gave you those gifts. God gave you your personality. God gave you a place to belong in this church. And why would you want to respond to your role as God-given? Because it's the most inspiring. Just knowing that God is cheering you on in this whole endeavor. Isn't that cool? That's why I encourage you, invest fully using your gift. It has been given to you by the one who spread out the universe just by speaking. Your role was planned out before this world came into being. Isn't that amazing? He designed you. So by March 4th, by the way, in your bulletin you have a little piece of paper. You can sign up this morning. If you already are clear what God wants you to do and the gifts that you have, make sure that that gets placed in the little box there for comments or whatever. We can get that. You can hand it to me. However it gets here, it doesn't matter. You can drop it off during the week. Next week, for sure, you will have the opportunity to sign up. Now, let me close up. In preparing for this message, the one thing that became very clear to me is God really loves diversity, doesn't he? When you look at nature, I'm astounded at the diversity. I mean, cats. God didn't just make one kind of cat. He made all kinds of cats. Big ones, small ones, cute ones, ones with attitude. He made all kinds. Fish, birds, and terrain. Think about the different places you can be on this planet. You can be in a zone like this one. What is this called? It's a temperate rain something or other. Thank you. I come from the forest. I don't know what they call this. Or you could be, even here in Canada, you can be in deserts or prairies. There's all kinds of different terrain. And God didn't just make the whole earth one kind of terrain, did he? He used his incredible creativity to make this wide variety of places that you and I can explore and enjoy. And so in the church, he loves diversity. Not one of us is exactly like anyone else. Which is why you don't fit in. But it's why you belong. Because we need you. You have a unique role to play at the Nanaimo Alliance Church. This is personal for me because I don't want anyone in this church to feel like you're a misfit. To feel like you're a reject or you're flawed somehow. Because that sense of not fitting in can eat at you. And it begins to affect your relationship, certainly with your church, and it begins to affect your relationship with your father. The more you tell yourself, I'm a weirdo, I don't fit in, I'm not like any of these people, I'm here to tell you exactly. That's the whole point. You're not like everyone else. Isn't that beautiful? Man, I hope you leave here feeling encouraged, church. You're a weirdo. Woo! Celebrate it. Man, if you've ever felt like I don't fit in, God bless you. I don't either. You may not fit in, but you are needed. You are so needed. I think each of us are needed far more than we could possibly imagine. Church, say it again with me. I belong. One more time. I belong. As the music team, Oh, yes, we have a closing song. Emily, come on up with your team. I'm going to close in this part in prayer. Lord, I'm so glad that you didn't just shove us through an assembly line where you strip us of all individuality, all our personality, all our likes and dislikes, all our leanings and quirkiness. And certainly you didn't give us all the same gift. You have a design for each one of us. And I pray that in the next weeks and months, you would help each person in the sound of my voice and the people who are listening to this online, help us to discover our unique role at the Nanaimo Alliance Church. And may we invest that gift to its fullest. Because this is our reasonable response in worship to you. Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for us. Thank you for allowing us to be part of your family, this wonderful organism called the church, where we can belong, not just today, not just tomorrow, but for all eternity. We love you and we worship you. In Jesus' name, amen.